The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
How do you bring the Kardashians into another era? We're here today talking with the star and executive producer, Kris Jenner, and Danielle King, the showrunner and executive producer of Hulu's The Kardashians. Kris, this is a rebirth. Tell me about how this came about. When the show on E! Was coming to a close, was Hulu always in the back pocket? Or was this a sudden surprise, getting the show onto streaming?
Well, I think that, no, it was not always in the back pocket. We were we've had the time of our lives filming this show for the E! Network, and it had such a great journey and great chapter of our lives. And when it came to the 20th season, we were thinking maybe it's time to have, you know, a little time to ourselves, because we were all, it was just seemed like the right time.
What, you know, tell us about the Kardashian fans and how they have changed throughout the years. You know, it's interesting, you know, Kevin Feige at Marvel knows his fans, knows what they like, knows what works in different films. What is it about Kardashian fans? Are there certain, how have they changed over the years? And obviously, with streaming, they're embracing streaming.
Yeah, you know, I think we have several different kinds of people that tune in to watch the show and that have followed us all along. And I think that one group of people, I think, who are our diehard fans and our biggest supporters and, you know, followers, I think are the people that started watching from the very beginning, and everybody got sort of emotionally invested in what we were doing as a family, and everybody kind of attached to a different one of us. You know, there were so many people in our family. Kendall and Kylie were 9 and 10 and just kids, and that was pretty fascinating to a lot of people to watch them grow up right before their eyes. And then there was so many different personalities, so much was going on. And I think you start following the family and, you know, honestly, you can't make this stuff up. It's just, there's so much that happens and evolves, and people have been following us through growing up and through times of, sadness, times of great happiness, marriages, divorces, babies. When we started our show, I did not have one grandchild, and now I have 11. Think about that. That's 11 that have come into the world since we started filming, and most of them are filmed, the births on camera. So we've given a lot of access to our lives because we've loved being a part of this whole journey. And I think that the different types of fans. Then there's the people that started watching us because they started hearing more about it and kind of caught up. And then now we have this whole new audience on streaming with Hulu that's been such a delight.
So tell me about finding Danielle. What was it about her that you loved? And in terms of her vision for the show?
Well, I think Danielle, in choosing another production company, that was really hard and very difficult because our former production company, Buna Murray, is like our family. And we, you know, the showrunner, Farnaz, who's one of my dear friends, she was with us day one, season one, episode one. There, you know, from the day we started till the last day of filming. She was a part of our lives and really you know, was our leader and helped us, you know, through this whole process of not only doing a show, but learning how to share it, the different parts of being executive producers. And we really all grew together along the way. And she really did help shape and form the show that it became. And so choosing a new production company was a very difficult decision. And honestly, the day that I met Danielle, I knew that she was the perfect one to add to this crazy, amazing family of mine, and that she would be able to lead us for the next chapter. And she has been such a blessing and so easy to work with and so understanding. And like, I feel like I've known her my whole life because she's so easy and so cheerful all the time and so positive, and she always has a solution. And it was very much like, you know, the way that we used to work a little bit, but then ever so different in the best way.
And so Danielle, you come in, how do you tell the Kardashians, hey, we can go and take this to another level?
Well, thank you, Chris. That was like just so much. But yeah, it was a lot. You know, I have been typically, you know, more like the in the Farnaz shoes, where I take a cast on and they're new to television and I'm kind of their TV mama. And I help them go through this process of becoming famous and how to make TV. And I love that process. So coming into the Kardashians, you know, they didn't need that. They are executive producers on the show and they're all incredibly talented and so bright. I struggled a little bit. I was like, ooh, I'm not even, you know, how am I needed here? Because they're just that great. They're there already. And I consider part of my specialty, you know, like bringing people, birthing these shows and holding hands, and they don't need that. But what I loved about the family from day one is just exactly what kind of was that fear ended up being what I loved, because they're such great creative partners and they're great collaborators. They're executive producers on the show. They know what works for them. And so it was incumbent upon me to ask more questions than to do, you know, than to like solve their problems. And I did that. I asked a lot of questions and I continue to ask a lot of questions. And obviously there's a learning curve and I had to figure the family out and all of that, but it's been great. What I did bring in was a lot of ideas just in terms of the style of the show. I'm super happy that everyone loved the drone footage at the top of the show.
Great.
That was inspired actually by watching a sports show with my husband. we were watching a show. He's a Cowboys fan. And there was this like drone footage that went all through the Cowboys stadium. And I was like, whoa, that drone never stopped. And it went through a car window. That's the opening. That's amazing. And then I also, I took it to the family and I said, what do you guys think about this drone footage? And of course they were like, that's cool. And I had also just finished watching that 7-8 hour Beatles documentary where, you know, the Beatles kept looking straight down the lens at the camera and talking to me and winking at me and sticking their tongue. I was like, John Lennon is like flirting with me. And I just thought, you know, the Kardashians are huge and their fans want that connection. So let's break that fourth wall. Let's have them as much as possible look straight down that lens, even in the middle of a scene. You know, the audience has been with them for 15 years. So let's include them in the conversation. So some stylistic things I wanted to bring to the show, but I mean, to the, you know, credit of this family, it's really just been more about them accepting me. And allowing me to come in and do whatever I can do, because they've got it going on. Like they are amazing at what they do. And I'm just sort of, you know, I'm just trying to tie it all together.
Hold up. This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Chris, how do you, and Danielle as well, how do you decide what is on camera and what is off? I mean, you and the family put everything out there. That is there ever a holiday that's kind of like, nope, we're going to have some privacy. We're going to shut off the cameras.
Yeah.
Is
there- well, you know, here's the thing. It kind of starts that way from time to time. It's rare, but, you know, I think that to Danielle's dismay, she's heard us say, oh, we're going to do this, but, you know, no cameras. We need a little, you know, and then somehow, some way, you know, it ends up being very, even if it's very private initially, we'll share as much as, you know, we possibly can. I think Courtney and Travis are probably the most private, believe it or not, after that in Italy. But I think it's, I don't know, what would you say, Danielle? I know we tell you a lot, oh, this isn't on camera, and then all of a sudden it's on camera. So
yeah, they wouldn't be human if they didn't have boundaries, right? And I think they respect the process so much, and it is really hard to share your life in an authentic way when cameras are rolling. I've produced a lot of shows, and what happens when the cameras start rolling is like people want to sort of perform a little bit. But so I think one of the biggest talents in our, you know, sort of attention economy where you want to keep eyeballs, I think one of the biggest talents is being able to be your authentic self on camera. And that's what this family can do. I know I'm deviating a little bit from the question. It's just that it made me think about it when she said it all ends up on camera anyway. Because there are things, they have boundaries. Of course, they say like, okay, we don't want this shot. I absolutely respect that. But then, you know, they'll end up being a conversation about it in another time that we're shooting, and we'll flesh that out in some way, shape, or form. Maybe we didn't cover the initial part of a conversation, but then it comes up organically in a different scene. I say scene, but really we're just following life. And then we end up, yeah, like Chris said, we end up getting a little deeper into it anyway. I mean, I don't want to go too far into it, but Chris, you'd probably agree, like the Black China trial kind of happened like that. You know, we weren't filming it, and then we just sort of got snippets along the way, and it ended up unfolding into this really compelling story. But again, part of the boundaries speaks to their ability to be authentic. You know, if they were just like putting everything out there, at some point it's like, okay, well, you know, but they do have boundaries. And then you know what you're getting is actually real.
The other question I have for both of you, I know that the family's, you know, social activity calendar is likely goalposts for what another season will be. Like if there's a baby on the way or if there's a wedding. However, have you ever found an episode in the editing room where you're like, oh my God, we have this footage. This is amazing. Let's take a left turn here and go down this direction.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's life.
Talk
that's life. Yeah.
Share, like, was there something in season one where you found it in the editing room or even, I don't know if you could tease season two, but where you found
I'll move it out of the editing room into like just filming, you know, because it's already aired. Well, wait, where are we at with, it's common knowledge. Yeah, we were at Kim's house to film something early in the morning. And Kim happened to be in the gym working out when the Tristan scandal broke. And Kim was going through the declaration and she called her sisters. We just legitimately happened to be there to film something entirely different. And my thought process was, okay, we're going in, you know, this direction. And then this happened. Another example of it even is in episode one of season one. That scene when we were all in the closet, when Kim found out like this other thing is happening. Well, she didn't find out, she found out in the first scene, but when we kind of got a little deeper into this second sex, the additional sex tape footage, we were actually there to shoot an entirely different scene. She was packing for SNL. She was getting ready to leave New York. And this all unfolded. Like it when they say like things come up, it truly does. Like that wasn't, I was like, oh, okay, this is a different ending than I was expecting, but like, here we go. So things like that happen all the time. And that's why, I think that's one of the reasons the fans just love the show, because it is so authentic.
The other thing I wanted to ask about is, when certain people come into the family's lives, for example, Pete Davidson, what is the conversation about with, well, in this particular case, Kim and Pete, in terms of saying, hey, can you come on camera, or can we bring this on camera? Is that an episode to episode type of conversation, or I'm just wondering if you could expound on that.
Something like that. The show is about our core cast. It's about this family. So if there are significant others, it's really up to them. I've never once seen, Kim never tried to persuade Pete. It's always up to the significant other or the peripheral person that they're dealing with. If they want to join in on the fun, more power to them. We're happy to cover that. But if they don't, Pete's a high profile person. He's an actor. And when, like Kim has said before, when the cameras are rolling, for him, it means it's performance time. When the cameras are rolling for this family, it's like time to get real. So it's a different muscle that they've worked and he's worked. But he's, legitimately a part of Kim's life. And so for those bigger moments, like when they went to the Met Ball, obviously Pete was with her, and he's not like, he's not like a crazy person. Get the cameras away from me. He joins in. Whether or not we have in-depth storylines with him, that's going to be entirely up to him. And I don't even foresee that coming heavy hand. That's entirely a conversation between Kim and Pete.
How much of season two is shot? Are you all done?
We're not done. Nope. We are. The stories are still rolling in. So we are still shooting. Our goal is to be done shooting by the end of June.
Okay. And will we need to wait another year to see season two? Or do you think it'll be?
You won't have to wait another year.
Oh, no, okay. No.
Yeah. No.
That's the beauty of being with, a streaming network, is that we can wrap these episodes, something happens, and get it to the viewers as soon as possible. And then they feel like they're following along and not trying to catch up with something that happened 6 or 8 months ago.
Right.
Chris, do you foresee spinoffs again? Like E used to do spinoffs?
I don't know. I mean, we love a good spinoff. We love a good spinoff, but right now we're just focusing on the mothership and just really having a blast filming what we're filming now. I think, if somebody decides to go somewhere for an extended period of time when we first started the show, nobody had children. So it was kind of easy for Kim and Courtney to go do, Courtney and Kim take New York, or Courtney and Chloe take the Hamptons, and so on. And so unless we just do the Kardashians take Palm Springs, it's just a lot to, there's a lot of moving parts when we travel these days because of the kids. So it's the kids and everything, and they're all in school now. So, it's too much to move an entire family to another city, and really get the most out of it. So we're just concentrating on the main show.
Are we going to see 2 episodes on the Italian Wedding, 3 episodes on the Italian Wedding?
I think that's something that we'll tease and say you'll have to tune in. We are covering it, and I don't know how much I can tease about it, but it's going to be amazing. That much I know. Everyone's going to want to tune in.
Danielle and Chris, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crew Call podcast on Deadline. I'm your host, Anthony D'Alessandro. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.